Have you heard of Gold Belly? It's an amazing site where you can get the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants all across the U.S. And it's perfect for game day, Valentine's Day, big parties, events, you name it. Gold Belly will ship you iconic Chicago deep dish pizza from Lou Malnati's, the original Buffalo Wings from Anchor Bar in Buffalo, Guy Fieri's unbelievable trash can nachos, real Philly cheesesteaks, or even the legendary Franklin's barbecue straight from Texas right to your door. And with Valentine's Day coming up, they've got great gifts like award-winning dinners from Peter Luger Steakhouse, world-famous macaroons from La Durie, and even the exact cake served at JFK's wedding to Jackie O. I can't wait to order some Lou Malnati's. Getting authentic Chicago deep dish shipped right to my door? Incredible. So whether you're looking to turn game day into an unforgettable experience with friends or want to impress the loved one on Valentine's Day, go to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code ZABE. That's goldbelly.com, code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo for 20% off your first order. Every day, companies you've probably never heard of are making billions off your personal data. Name, address, phone number, even details about your family. All being pulled from public records and the internet, and then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace making money off your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. Aura fights back. They remove your personal data from broker sites and keep it off. Plus, they alert you fast if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just a data broker removal tool. It's a full digital security suite. VPN, antivirus, password manager, spam call protection, and dark web monitoring for your social security number, bank logins, and passwords. And if your identity is ever stolen, you're backed by up to $5 million in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support. Other services charge the same, but only cover one or maybe two areas. With Aura, you get all of it in one simple app. Right now, you can try Aura for free for 14 days when you visit aura.com/remove. That's enough time for Aura to start removing your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today at aura.com/remove and get the peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are safeguarded. That's aura.com/remove. Certain terms apply. Check website for more details. We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets, or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit, and remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag. This is the ZabeCast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. You know, it's a good thing I've been pushing off recording the ZabeCast until later in the day, afternoon, evening, because right now the news keeps on breaking. Minutes ago, before we hit record on this podcast, John Harbaugh fired in Baltimore. 18 seasons and gone. Apparently a number of teams have already called out to express interest. Yeah. And we will get into it today. Mr. X is my ride-along in the sidecar today on a Wednesday. How we doing, Mr. X?
Good. All good. Ready for the playoffs.
We have an abundance of storylines and content and things to talk about today, and we're going to get into it. But first, how was your holidays?
All good. Good part was all four boys came home for a while. Bad part was all four boys came home for a while.
But then you once they left, I bet you missed them. as a proud papa, right?
Of course.
Eating you out of house and home, leaving the milk on the counter, not doing the dishes, leaving the door open. Hey, what the hell's going on around here?
Yeah. Well, you got to love it. You know, X4 texts me on New Year's Day about just before noon and says, "So how do you get vomit out of a carpet?"
He didn't go to ChatGPT for that.
No, still came to me for that. I don't know. He takes after his mother, I guess.
I would like to begin today, Mr. X, by going back to something that I saw during the Ravens and Steelers game, the game that ultimately cost Harbaugh his job, some would argue. There's already memes going around out there showing the goalposts, and in the middle they draw Tomlin fired on the left and the right outside the goalposts. It's Harbaugh fired. Because it kind of literally came down to that. You could kind of sense that that was going to be it, right, when it was all said and done?
Yeah. I got no real connection, positive or negative, for Harbaugh. And same with Tomlin. They've obviously had two of the better long, long runs.
Right.
And sometimes I watch him and I think he's overrated, but still, a guy makes a kick, misses a kick, that leads to a I mean, that doesn't make sense. You know, that doesn't make sense.
The thing I want to get to is officiating and replay, because it felt to me that the Ravens took an uphill whistle by the league in this game. And there were people that saw, as soon as Sean Smith was announced as the crew chief, that it was going to be possibly one of those games. Now, would the networks prefer Aaron Rodgers and Pittsburgh, the more iconic, the more decorated franchise, than Baltimore? 1,000,000% they would prefer it. Does it really make a difference, though, at the end of the day to the NFL, because they're going to get huge ratings no matter what? The answer is no, they're not. But just because something may not actually line their pockets does not mean that there's not a preference, does not mean that there isn't a lean of some sorts. And because the NFL officiating is so, what's the word I'm looking for? It is so quixotic.
Crappy,
crappy would be one, but quixotic or random at times, in which, why is that a penalty and why is that not a penalty? And how come you called it here, but you didn't call it there? And now you've layered in the next element, which is the expedited review. So, second down and 9, 3 minutes to go. Pittsburgh leading Baltimore 20-7. Or 20-17 is your number. Let me go ahead, bring this up, share a screen so we can go through this together on the video. All right. This is the Ricard reception. All right.
Oh, yeah.
It's second and 9, and it's a play action dump off to their fullback who had caught one pass all year. Yeah. Looked like a first down there. Referees signaled first down there. Announcers Tirico and Collinsworth said first down. You can see coming up in just a second, you're going to see the chain gang run by. They ran by earlier as they moved the chains. Let me scrub it back here. But, you know, Looked like a first down, and I thought to myself, there it is. There goes the chain gang right there. It was then, it caught Collinsworth and Tirico's by surprise, and they said, oh, wait a minute, it's been expedited, reviewed, marked short by about half a yard.
Yeah,
and Harbaugh did not challenge. Now, I'm going to freeze frame it right here, because this is the best angle. When I looked at it, I realized, well, shit, expedited replay did get it right. But I got questions about the procedure of it all. So here's Ricard right here, and his knee is about to go down. There it goes down. As I use my cursor, can you see the cursor on the screen, Mr. X? The ball would be presumed to be here at the top of his numbers on the back of his jersey, on his chest. That's where you would presume the ball to be, maybe a little bit forward. It was up closer to his neck. It is... but this is not the right frame, okay, because I got to go back one or two frames. Let me see if it allows me to do it. Okay, so let me scrub it back here, and let's just go right there. Boom. That's the frame that matters right there. Knee is down. His top of his numbers are short, by probably about 6 inches, if this angle is accurate enough down the line, and the ball's presumed to be somewhere in the center of his chest, he's probably short. Now, the rest of his body falls clearly across the line to gain, so pretty much if you were just using your naked eye, that's a first down. Okay? Yeah. Are you good with everything I've said so far?
Sure.
What happened afterwards was so curious because I'm sitting there screaming, whoa, 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 challenge that. Now, you see Baltimore has 3 timeouts, so they had the ability to challenge. We're above the 2-minute warning, so I think you can challenge above 2, right? Or do you have to be above 3 to challenge?
Above two.
And there's Harbaugh, now fired, just sort of very calm, which is a good thing to be in the moment as a head coach, to be calm. But most coaches, I think, would have been screaming, what the hell? And considering a red flag challenge of the expedited review. Harbaugh, either worried about the next play or whatever, decided not to do it. Now, it turned out to work spectacularly in the Ravens' favor because they went quick huddle, no personnel change, and then ran a fake toss and a bomb to Zay Flowers again, who got wide open for the second time to the amazement of Collinsworth and everyone else and scored a touchdown. And so they took advantage of it. Now, they kind of probably used the thinking, I'm pretty sure. Hey, it's third and half a yard. This is our shot play. Let's take our shot here. And that's not a bad strategy, but we all know how hard a half a yard is to get, so it seemed like a bit of a risk. Had they allowed that first down to stand, then would the Ravens have been more conservative? Would it actually have, in a way, hurt the Pittsburgh Steelers? I don't know. All I know is that was shocking to me that a play that close, that was that important, was not even slowed down to review. They just quickied it.
Yes. Well, I see it a little different in this sense. It does not surprise me at all that they did not challenge, because what the coaches have learned is, I mean, if they had just marked it short, he might challenge. But when they quickly say expedited review, which is supposed to mean, oh, obvious screw up, not even worth a challenge. When they do an expedited review, you don't usually throw that challenge because they've already said, oh, we looked and it's obvious. And what are you going to say? Look again? I mean, they don't usually challenge the expedited review. But they, and so if there was a regular call, maybe he challenges. Expedited review, I can't tell you the number of times I've seen coaches challenge the expedited review this year, and I think they're over because by definition, they've already said, we looked.
Yeah. Well,
and if you say, look again, they don't say, oh, you were right. They stick with what they did the first time.
But like the line in Any Given Sunday, the inches we need are all around us.
On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that inch. We claw with our fingernails for that inch. Because we know when we add up all those inches, that's going to make the fucking difference between winning and losing. Between living and dying. I'll tell you this, in any fight, it's the guy who's willing to die who's going to win that itch. And I know if I'm going to have any life anymore, it's because I'm still willing to fight and die for that itch. Because that's what living is.
I mean, I will excuse Mr. X all of the absurd inconsistencies in that movie because it's still Al Pacino, and I still love that locker room speech. There is a lot of truth in that.
Yeah. Well, this was not a good weekend for refereeing overall. I mean, I don't know if I've seen a worse officiated game than that Panther-Bucks game on Saturday.
Oh, horrible.
It was ridiculous. I honestly think, and I'm not going to go down the replay road, but I feel like when you're at work and the boss pulls up their chair next to you and looks over your shoulder and corrects everything you do all day, it's hard to do your job. And that's what this expert review is. They honestly, like, don't have to get it right. because they're very quickly being corrected. And it just seems like a snowball going downhill. That Panther game, that thing where they threw that lateral flat pass, whistled it dead because they said it was incomplete.
Brad Allen.
And he's holding the ball.
Brad Allen said on the mic.
Out of bounds. It,
right. I mean, absurd. Crazily bad. And really bad. And too many crews are now letting plays run because you can only fix them if you let the tape run. But that adds a whole new element of chaos and potential late hits or dead ball hits. It frustrates me when they take a long time to blow the whistle dead.
Oh, yeah.
I'd rather them just make the fucking call.
Well, but somebody's in their ear telling them what to blow. So there's this like freezing moment of, hold on, I'm not going to call this yet because Johnny's telling me what to call. It's just messed up. But I know I have said for years the biggest problem with the whole thing is that they're, quote, taught to let it play out.
Yeah.
Fine. But after you let it play out, do not come back to me and say it stands as called on the field because it wasn't called on the field.
Right.
It was let play out. You can't let it play out and then say, gee, it's close. We'll stick with it as you originally didn't bother to call it on the field.
All right. So that was one play. Another play that happened that was a huge one was on second down and short. They complete a pass to get a first down and they call Ronnie Stanley, their left tackle, for illegal formation because he was not lined up with the rest of the offensive line. It looked, from the imperfect angle on TV we had, that, yeah, he was probably a bit far back. But I kept a keen eye on the follow-up play, and I'm like,
same spot.
I don't, it doesn't look any different to me. And they say that,
call me twice.
They say that your helmet must dissect the belt line to the center. And all I know is I saw it and I go, that's not dissecting the belt line, not from this angle at least, but they chose to call it in that moment. And I philosophically believe to my core that only the most mid-witted of simpletons repeats the mantra, if it's a foul in the first minute, it's a foul in the last minute. I think that is the dumbest way to officiate sports. I'm not saying let guys get away with murder or any kind of violation in the waning minutes of a game, but shit, there's got to be a sliding scale. It's not absolute. They're all judgment calls. So when the fourth quarter comes, stop inserting yourself and playing God. That's all.
Yeah, I think if you make that call in the first quarter, you're kind of trying to set the tone for, you know, this is the way it's going to be today. Come on, line up. I guarantee that was not the first time he lined up like that.
No, impossible. And
no way.
For a long time.
Why'd you wait till now?
For a long time, the Chiefs left tackle, I forget who it was getting a quick jump every single play. And you could see it. And you could slow it down frame by frame. And many of us were like, are you not seeing this? You're not going to call this? Yeah. So they make that call in the moment. What then became the most frustrating part, if you were a Ravens fan or if you just wanted consistent officiating, was on the missed game-winning kick by poor Tyler Loop. This should have been, by the definition of the rule, if you're going to be as strict as you were with Ronnie Stanley, this should have been leverage on Ben Skowronek. In fact, a number of prominent NFL credible people like Jason McCourty tweeted as such. Here is the Jason McCourty tweet talking about it with a screenshot. All right, here you go. He says, sheesh, this was close. Hell of a game nonetheless. And there is Skowronek clearly putting his hands on his defensive lineman, which is a literal and absolute violation. No call.
There's been an incredible amount of really ticky-tack leverage calls, which makes you wonder, don't they know it's being called? But that one wasn't ticky-tack. That was pretty clear and obvious.
According to Yahoo Sports, in addition to Hayward, Skowronek also put his hand on the back of Baltimore long snapper Nick Moore, though that was when he was coming back down from his leap. D-back Jason McCourty, now of CBS Sports, thought that Skowronek should have been called for the penalty. Also, Lamar Jackson tweeted out SMFH, shaking my fucking head, when he saw the actual screen cap of it. And now the thing is, leverage has only been called five times around the NFL this season, so it's certainly uncommon. But if we're being ticky-tack about it, if we're removing first downs based on, oh, his knee was a split second down, and if you're doing it on alignment of offensive linemen, alignment of the O-linemen, well, then it should be on everything. And this is the folly of replay. Getting it right. It's important to get it right. In the three calls I just made, they got it right, they might have got it right, and they got it wrong. So what are we averaging? 500. One definitely wrong, one definitely right, one that's in the middle that is indecipherable, and yet we have replay. But you're still a fan of it. Unfortunately, I've not been able to get you off of that square.
No, I can't, because I will just say there was, I think it was 3 weeks ago when I was watching each game over, I actually, for some reason, made a little tally of absolutely ridiculous calls that were very quickly overturned by Eye in the Sky.
Yeah.
And I think I had 23.
Okay.
And it's
did you
like,
count the number of ones they didn't get right?
Oh, yeah. No, my point is, it's like anything in life. You say, if you didn't get two right, do you want to just let the other 23 go? I mean, it's not anywhere near.
Yes.
And the number of ones that are just so obvious that every single person goes, oh, yeah, I messed up. All right, let's move on. To me, matters more than a couple of wrongs.
Right.
You're not going to get 100, but getting the 23 meant a lot.
Can we agree that the NFL is a woefully over-officiated product in general?
Oh, God, yes.
That in the college semifinal, quarterfinal, I should say, between Ohio State and Miami, there were two penalties accepted all game for both teams.
Yeah.
Two. They had none in the first half. And there's no explanation that would be like, well, they just were playing clean football, or maybe these college refs aren't very good and they can't see the penalties. No, college referees are not governed. They're not employed by a singular entity like NFL referees are. And so they have a much greater latitude to go in the meeting room, we're going to let them play tonight, boys. It's how it is in college as well. So I just wish the NFL would stop. It would dial down the flags. I wish the NFL would say, we don't want to have more than X number of flags. If that means letting some teams get away with a formation here and there, who the fuck cares? Is it really that much of an advantage? Well, you know, if you could split your tight end out and he doesn't have to line up off of the right tackle, you know, that could lead to shut the fuck up. It doesn't really matter. You're not getting a 50-yard gain because a guy took one step the wrong way, and it's illegal motion. Let's keep it moving. But the larger point about the whole replay thing, this comes to me from one Jason Heilman via email. You can always reach me at zabe@yahoo.com. He writes, flags in every ear and a finger on the scale. Zabe, I hope you're well. It's been a bit since I've reached out. Catching up on a few podcasts, and I wanted to chirp a little bit about the NFL's finger on the scale concept that you've talked about. Let's talk expedited replay. We've watched for years as the league has cluttered and gummed up its product in the fool's aspiration of perfection. Even those in favor of that futile effort of perfection came to recognize the tedious abating of continuity and satisfaction of the games themselves. With that construct, the NFL quietly introduced expedited replay. Wow, writes Jason, what an improvement you've given us. The molasses-ified excitement has now loosened to a more maple sap-like flow. Does maple sap flow better than molasses, Mr. X? You would know. You're a Mainer during the summer.
You got me on that one.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. It's quicker, but still slow. A condition, though, was subtly revealed by this new process. That condition quietly revealed that all active games are being actively watched by the league behind closed doors in a suite in New York City for the purpose of officiating in real time. Not for training, not for issuing statements after the fact, in real time. The league is being called from 30 Rock on the 40th floor. And I don't like that. Many people agree with me, but not nearly enough. Too many sheep are like, well, you know, what are you going to do? Blah, blah, blah. He writes, Jason, please check out my pamphlet titled Flags from Zebras with Gods in Their Ears. It's been long said that you can call holding on any play. As an experienced official, it's all about knowing where to look or calling the thing you've kind of been letting go all game. There's an ambiguity in everything if you microscope it hard enough. So what's my point? Here it is. If the league wanted to truly pressure the outcome of a game for an outcome that they prefer, we would be none the wiser. Because we would just keep smashing our meat paws together and buying the trucks and the boner pills and the Uber Eats the league sells us because we are so damn addicted to their drama. Flags can be thrown on any play, and the league is not only actively watching all the games, but they can get in the ear from New York to the officials on the ground at any time to say,
hold on a second,
and help them either pick up a flag or change a call. One or two of those at the end of the game can decide the outcome. It's all right there, Zabe. They built it right under our noses to correct a problem that they themselves created. And I got to say, it's a little bit fucking genius. Best to you, sir, Jason Heilman. But nobody cares. I clap alone, apparently.
Yeah.
I clap alone because nobody else fucking cares. This is not how I want my sports, because the ability and the urge of the league to be nefarious cannot be understated. Okay. The time is yours, as Andy Reid would say. I'm going to turn it over to you, Mr. X, for some stuff, and then I'll finish on a few more items. What's on your mind this week as we get looking ahead to the upcoming slate? I do want to talk about the interesting games and the spreads we see. Yeah. But now that we've had another coach fired, I want to rank the jobs that are open right now. If you were the hot coach, and I guess Harbaugh is one, Stefanski will be 1A, which job would you want? Because they all have kind of pluses and minuses. Okay. Where do you want to begin?
Do you think Stefanski's really that hot?
Yes. He was going to be the most attractive guy until Harbaugh became available.
Well, the only thing I'm thinking about on that is it reminds you of how the smartest thing the owners have ever done is put caps on themselves, because they know they can't control their spending. Now, there's no caps on coaches.
No.
And we all know what the Raiders coaching payroll looks like now, with five guys on the payroll for around $60 million. I don't know if you saw that. I mean, the number of head coaches that they're paying this year.
Yes, here we go. Ready? Yeah. About $50 million to guys who will not coach next year for the Raiders. Josh McDaniels, $10 million. John Gruden, $10 million. Antonio Pierce, $8 million. Chip Kelly, $6 million as a coordinator. And then Pete Carroll, after his one and done, the most expensive, $16 million.
Yeah. So they put caps on the players, because if they didn't have them, they'd be doing this with players, what they do only with coaches. And so they knew what they were doing when they – it has nothing to do with fairness. It has to do with restricting themselves. Imagine if they did this with quarterbacks and everyone else the same way they do with coaches, since there's no caps or rules on that.
Well, the cap is the only restraint they have. Because the guaranteed money that Haslam gave to Deshaun Watson set off panic and alarms and sirens and bells league-wide. And the league circled the wagons to pretty much engage in collusion, which, because this union sucks so bad and they have never been able to stick together for one hot minute to defend their interests, they had no muscle to be able to take this to court. But I think there was absolutely collusion in the wake of it, because several guys tried to get fully guaranteed deals and they couldn't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I when I saw the Harbaugh thing scroll, I very quickly thought about, you know, I wonder if this attitude had been prevalent in the past. How many all-time classic coaches might have had a shorter stint when they had that one or two bad years, which we no longer have the tolerance for. I mean, I was looking and I was thinking, you know, after their second Super Bowl win, the next year Joe Gibbs went 7-9. Well, in today's era, would he be on the hot seat? You know,
right.
Shula did the same thing after 6 years going 67-9. The next year they went 6-8. and then they're out of the playoffs, and you're like, would those guys have had those kind of 20-year careers? Because they just knew they had a good coach, and when you had a bad year, you didn't just blame the coach.
Right. So the Harbaugh tally, 18 seasons, 180-113. He went 13-11 in the playoffs and won a Super Bowl. I think anyone that reacts to, oh, my God, how could you fire him, has to step back and say, I don't think that Steve Bisciotti fired him thinking he can't coach or that he wouldn't be a good guy to keep going. But 18 years, these are not Supreme Court appointments, Mr. X. At some point, you got to swap things out. So I think the time had definitely come. Now the question is going to be Lamar. Almost the worst possible scenario occurred for Ravens fans because Lamar was ass for much of the game. And I know he was hurt, but he was a non-factor for most of the game, but then made three spectacular plays.
Remember, I texted you and said, Lamar is absolutely invisible in this game. And within 10 seconds, he threw this 60-yard bomb touchdown.
Exactly. Right. So, of the jobs that are open, let's look at them here and let's try to rank them. When it comes to taking the job, you have to consider first and foremost the owner. First and foremost the owner. Not only are they your boss, but they've got to be of the right temperament to allow you to succeed. Owner is one, quarterback is two, and if you don't have the quarterback, draft position is 2B.
Draft position. Mm-hmm.
The culture of the franchise, is it cloaked in misery like, say, the Jets are? The media environment you're flying into, certainly the New York media is a lot of turbulence. You got to have a strong coach to deal with that. Then I would rank the amenities that come with coaching there, which would make Arizona a lot higher for some people. And then I would put expectations after that, meaning if you're going somewhere that has never really had success, you got a little bit of a leg up, right?
Sure.
You go to somewhere there's big expectations, look out. So with that said, I think the most attractive job open right now between Tennessee, the Giants, Arizona, Atlanta, Baltimore, Las Vegas, and Cleveland is, believe it or not, probably the Giants. Even though it's a negative on the media portion.
Yeah.
The expectations, luckily now, are so low because the Giants have sucked for a long time that any amount of competence is going to look good. The owner is battling cancer, and we wish him the best in that fight. But otherwise, John Mara is not a meddler, per se. They did keep the GM, Joe Shane. I forgot to mention the GM. That's a huge – you got to put that in there somewhere as well. What's the GM situation? Are you going to be basically the GM? Are you going to have a say in hiring the GM? So the Shane thing is a bit of a minus. Maybe Baltimore is more attractive than New York.
Yeah. I don't know. I think if you're good, you really want to go somewhere where you have unlimited upside. You know, some jobs like the Ravens, you come right in, you're expected to win immediately.
The unlimited upside job. The unlimited upside job is Cleveland. Cleveland, you can be a hero if you win.
Vegas too,
but
you got five bad coaches in a row.
The bad owner in Cleveland, and don't get me wrong, tough. Haslam is absolutely not fit to run a team. And he should be in jail because he's a criminal with the pilot Flying J scam that he pulled that he conveniently said, oh, that was my middle manager's doing that. I had no control. They were stealing the rebates from truckers that we had promised them for millions of dollars. What? That's crazy. He's a bad owner. But Mark Davis is a bad and stupid owner.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, there's one thing you left off your list of criteria. Why do you think they call it money? I mean, you know, you have all those things that are supposed to matter and do matter. And then when you add zeros, you kind of say, yeah, we can overlook a couple of those things.
Well, I'm not saying that the bottom feeding teams in this list are not going to be able to hire somebody. They will, but they're going to get what they pay for. and you're going to have to overpay to get somebody who's got a resume to come there. And we've seen in past hiring cycles, a number of good coaches that were hot candidates said no to even taking an interview with anybody. Or at best, they took an interview only to leverage an offer somewhere else. Ben Johnson was flying his way to D.C., turned around mid-flight and said, yeah, never mind. I'm going back to Chicago. He just wanted them to be desperate. The bite you're looking for is right here for you, Mr.
That's what the money is for.
Oh, wait. That's from Mad Men.
That's what the money is for.
That's what the money is for. You're looking for everybody needs money. That's why they call it
everybody
money.
Needs money.
Vito.
That's why they call it money.
There you go. You might not have heard that because I don't think those sound bites play down the line. Okay. Never mind. That said. All right. So I think Tennessee, you got the quarterback maybe if Cam Ward's the guy, but the rest of the roster is so depleted and not very good. It's a tough lift. They're getting a new stadium in a couple of years, I believe. The ownership, Amy Adams Strunk, she sucks. She let Vrabel walk out the door because she had a little pissy match with him over control. Idiot. So that's a bad job right there. The Cardinals. Bidwell is not liked. Michael Bidwell, the current owner, son of the most hated Bidwell that used to roam the planet. They don't have a quarterback. They're going to have to find a way to offload Kyler Murray. And the rest of the talent on the roster is not very good, but it's Arizona. Weather is nice. Yeah. Expectations also low. Atlanta could be good. Atlanta's got frisky, talented guys on both sides of the ball. But they don't know what they're doing at quarterback. Kirk is just a guy at this point. We don't know if Penix will ever be fully healthy. Third knee surgery on him. And the owner is getting to be a bit of a quirky, cranky, mini Jerry Jones of the red coat. Arthur Blank. Dicey job right there. Baltimore's a solid job. Bisciotti, I think, is a solid owner. And if they can tamp things down with Lamar and if they can get healthy, you've got your quarterback there. Vegas, I just mentioned. Cleveland, I just mentioned. I don't even know how to rank them. There's like two solid jobs in here, Baltimore and New York. And then the rest are roll the dice and hope you make a difference.
Well, I think at the end of the day, we know this, but I do think it's a little underrated. If I was picking, it's a league about quarterbacks. And I'm picking the job based on that. I mean,
pick
yes,
the best quarterback. What if you don't know where the quarterback's going to be?
The one I want to be with.
Okay.
You know?
What
and,
if it's
and the other thing is you always in every job in life, your boss matters.
Yeah.
You know, we forget that your boss matters. If you like your boss or you can work well with your boss, whether it's your GM or the owner, that does matter. And if you think he's incompetent, you want to work somewhere else. For example, the Falcons, I think whoever goes in there has got a problem with Penix and Cousins. They're
did
a good
team.
Did you
say Penix?
What did I say?
You said Penix.
Anyway, whatever. I have four kids in the house. They always call him that. Penix. I've heard it both ways. I think they're a quarterback problem, and I don't want to go into a quarterback. I want to go in with one I like or one that I can pick. And I don't think his injuries, and I don't think he's that good. Yeah, they picked him so high that it's just an uncomfortable spot to go in.
Yeah.
So I would put the Giants, the Browns, even though they're going to be QB shopping again, and the Raiders.
The Browns' job also comes with managing the fans and the media's hype of Shadur.
Sure.
Yeah. The Shadur hype is 30 yards ahead of where he is as a quarterback. Right now, as a quarterback, he stinks. Plain and simple. The numbers don't lie. But he's got traits. He's got tools. And the other guys on the team are not very impressive at quarterback. So that's going to be interesting. And there's a real big media. There's a certain chunk of the media that is hell-bent on the narrative of Shadur succeeding so they can shove it down the throats of the old white guy media that they perceived was racist by implying that he was not a top prospected quarterback. How dare you? How dare you say Shadur? You don't like his flamboyance? You don't like the watches he wears? No, I just don't think he's that good. Racist.
Yeah, I think that X4 had a very good sentence this week. He asked me, he said, you know who the most overrated quarterback in the NFL is? He said, it's Shador. And then he said, the most underrated quarterback in the NFL is Shador.
Oh, God.
Because the point is, he probably has shown that he does belong in the league, and there's many people who think he doesn't even belong in the league. They're wrong. But then there's the other extreme that thinks he's, you know, whatever, and he's not. He's probably going to be a guy on a roster, a decent backup for a few years because of his mobility. And but those who think he's awesome or horrific are probably both wrong.
Okay. We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.
Let's get to your question you brought to the table tonight, which is, let's go back to look at our August podcast full of season predictions. And let's just see how we did. Also, you want to ask the hypothetical question of what is a good percentage of being right picking NFL games? Because last year you went 64% with your subscribers, callmemrx.com, at just callmemrx.
That was 2 years ago in 2023. 2 years.
Well,
yes.
Oh, 2 years.
Somebody's already correcting us, so I had to get it right. Yeah.
Okay.
2 years ago. Last year I was not good. I was like 53.
Right.
But 2 years ago I was right at 65. Right?
My friend and colleague Kevin Sheehan tweeted that he went 5-1 ATS last week, and his season long ATS number in the NFL only is 115.64-13 for a 64% clip. Which is amazing. By the way, it may not be just NFL. I think he includes college. So either way, Kevin Sheehan has had a smoking good year, according to his reckoning. Yeah. I don't know if anyone's checking that, but I would have no reason to believe that Kevin would exaggerate.
No, I believe.
So what is a good percentage to win?
Okay. You know, being real, my target is I want to be 58. I want to be in the upper 50s.
What's break even with the VIG with standard minus 110, which, by the way, you got to watch. A lot of these websites start to chisel you at minus 115, minus 120.
Yeah. And guys who track records don't factor that in, which they should, which I do. But so I want to be, I don't feel like, you know, if I can't get in the upper 50s, what am I doing? But yeah, you know, I believe Sheehan can get there. Do you get 64s often? No. Did I, when 2 years ago when I was at 65, I mean, it was a very good year. That's about the high side. Over that is really got to catch lightning in a bottle. But, you know, this year I was a little over 60 until this last weekend, which was god awful, and dropped to like 59. And a half or something like that.
That's a good year right there.
I'm okay with that. You know, I think those that hype the stuff higher than that, you know, I can't say they're not telling the truth, but it usually is cut and sliced in a certain way. 70% on these sort of things.
Yeah.
And they tend to leave out half of the equation, if that makes sense.
Okay, so.
But here's what I got from preseason. You want to do that?
Hold on. One more thing before we get to that. Yeah. I did look this up. I researched what was the winning percentage for the Circa Sports Million contest, edition number six.
66%.
That was close. Yeah.
That's okay. $1 million to go 66% on just 90 picks over the course of a season. So you're not picking more than how many games a week? Five games a week, something like that?
I will throw an asterisk on this. And, hey, don't get me wrong. You hit 66 over the year. God, I wish I was in it 2 years ago. You hit that. That's good. When you put out a line on Wednesday, a frozen line, so to speak, and you fill out your Circa or Westgate contests, and those lines have changed considerably.
Whoa.
Those numbers, there are some gimmies. There's some layups in that.
Whoa. I was under the understanding that you do not have to bet that early in the week.
No, you don't have to. What I'm saying is they put out the sheet. It doesn't change.
When
they put out, no, they can't because everybody, it's out.
Right.
It's like the office pool. It's the paper's printed.
Okay, when does it get put out? Wednesday?
Well, the year you and I did it, it was a Wednesday. That's been a number of years when we did that one, when I flew out there and we did it. And
dude, we're doing it again this year. That is 1,000%. We are going there in August, fry our balls off with no sports going on just to enter the Circa Million.
I've spent money on dumber things.
Yeah, exactly right.
No, but what I'm getting at is, okay, they put out the picks or the lines rather on Wednesday when we did it. Now you put it out at three and then you find -3 and then you find out the other team's quarterback's not playing. And by Saturday it's -9. There's some layups in there because the whole world is taking -3 and they're 1-0. Don't get me wrong. 66 is a good number, but I'm saying there's a handful of in there that are not coin flips because of things that happen between Wednesday and Sunday, but still, that doesn't surprise. That's like I said, that's a good year. Hit around 65. That's a good one.
Now, it's not just about the number correct you are. It's also about making sure you're disciplined, and it's about money management, and it's about bet variance and not chasing things. And as you like to say, when somebody bets a ton of money on what seems like a sure thing or an easy bet, stop yourself and ask, do I really need this much money? Here is a video of a guy losing $100,000 on the Ravens against the Steelers. This is at the Bellagio, by the way.
Now, Zabe, I can't see that ticket. It's kind of small, but he must have had a money line because they were laying 4 points, so that field goal didn't change it any. Did he have the Ravens money line? And if so, what was it minus?
Minus 190.
So
Ravens money line, -190. He bet $100,000 to win $52,000.
That's what I said. The guys that throw these numbers around, I don't lay 190 on almost anything.
Do you need the, if you have $100,000 to wager on a single NFL game, do you need the 52 that much?
No,
unbelievable.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, let's get to our August
preseason
predictions. Yeah. What did we say?
Here's what I wrote down from listening today. What we did was we picked the divisions, and then you wanted us to pick the two title games. So I'll do it quickly. Stop me when you want to. We both took Philly.
Ding. Got one right.
in the Central, I took Green Bay, and I said, because I do think that coordinators matter, and Detroit lost two of them, and they are going to hurt. I'll take that one. Zabe took the Vikes because he said, quote, I believe JJ will be good.
Did I say that, or did I say the Vikings seem to be committed that he is going to be good? I don't think I had any what reason would I have to say I think he's going to be good? I want to go listen to that episode again. I believe I couched it in terms of they must see him as being good because they're going in with no backup plan. I think that's what I
did listen to it on fast speed. Maybe I missed that a little bit.
1.5x, okay. Yeah. All right.
So in the South, we were right on target. I took Tampa, you took Atlanta, so of course it's Carolina.
Well, it was almost a four-way tie.
Yeah.
Almost a four-way tie at 8-9, which would have been hilarious.
Yeah. In the West, we both took San Fran, and I liked your line. You said, I got to take San Fran because I do not believe in Darnold.
I could be on one of those NFL networks, get your story straight.
Oh, yeah.
Commercials. Right. Nice pick, Cowa. Roth is something. Nice pick, Cowa.
We both took Buffalo. We both took Baltimore, and you said, I'm taking Baltimore because Pitt will end up 9-8.
Hey, now.
Weren't they? They should have been if it wasn't for that field goal.
They were 10-7.
The good one, we both took the Jags, and I had said, this is my sleeper good team of the year. I believe in the head coach and it will improve Lawrence a lot.
Distinctly remembering that my two darling teams were the Jags and the Pats because they both had quarterbacks and they had clearly upgraded their coach. That can be found. Some listener, do you remember when El Baldo said that? A ding and a ding on those two teams right there.
Sure. In the West, you took the Chiefs because you said I have echoes of Brady and Belichick and they're not ready to demise. I took the Chargers, so we both missed that one.
Nobody but had then, Bo Nix and the Broncos.
No,
winning
not
14
at all.
Games. Nobody.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Then when you wanted to pick the conference title game, you took the Lions to beat the Eagles.
Okay.
I took Green Bay to beat San Fran.
Still alive.
The two most injured teams probably in the postseason. And then in the AFC, you took Buffalo over Baltimore. And I took Buffalo over Jacksonville.
Okay.
And then in the Super Bowl, you took Detroit to beat Buffalo. And I took Buffalo to beat the Packers. So that's what we did in August. Yeah. I'm pleased with the Jags. They were a good long shot early pick.
Did you know that none of ESPN's experts, and they had a list of about 30 of them, none of their experts picked any of the final four teams in college this year? So ESPN, the worldwide leader, 0-30. And I'm not knocking them for this because this is why sports is a billion-dollar industry.
Well, yeah.
The unpredictability of it is why we fucking watch.
Yeah, I was great in college. I took Clemson.
Yeah, and you were not the only one. You were not. A lot of people took Penn State. How did that work out for them?
Yeah.
Also, when you look at the top four quarterbacks by seed, the ones and the twos, you've got Bo Nix and Sam Darnold, and the twos are Drake May and Caleb Williams.
Yeah. Well,
not a Mahomes, not a Burrow, not a Dak, not a Lamar to be found.
No. I think a couple of weeks ago on the show, I made a mention of how I saw it finishing out, and I said, the 5-6-7s are going to be favored over the 2-3-4s. I feel like the bottom teams are better than the top teams that are going to win. And for the most part, that's kind of coming out. Not 100%, but we have – what do we have? We have, I think, four out of the first six games the lower seed is favored off the top of my head.
Okay, so let's get to those odds and let's get to the games. The biggest number – was the Rams at Carolina, but that sagged a bit, and supposedly some sharp money is coming in on Carolina. You better have a strong constitution for that, if you ask me.
Yeah, well, no, I don't know if it's moved. You made a mention of mood. It opened at 10, and I would take Carolina plus 10.
I see 10.5 on ESPN.com.
Okay, that's I'll not take 10.5.
Well, okay, hold on a second. Let me go to scoresandodds.com and get there the across-the-board ticker.
Oh, I thought you made
this.
A mention that there was some sharp coming in on Carolina, so I thought maybe it had moved, and I didn't see it.
You know what? It was 10. Huh? It was 10 at one point, and now I see 10.5 at scoresandodds.com.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, now that's a lot of points to lay on the road in the NFL. That's a lot.
The Packers and Bears, the Packers are -1.5. The Packers' last win was against the Bears. The Bears' last win was against the Packers. How funny is that? Yeah,
3 times in a month they're going to play. That's kind of unusual. That's, I mean, the Packers are beat to heck. They're very injured, and they're favored. I don't think there's a team in the postseason that gets less respect than the Bears. I mean, what did they go, 12 and 6. 12 and 5?
11 and 6.
That's right. They blew it this week. That's not a bad division. They had some problems, but they're the 2 seed. And when you look at, like, the odds to win it all, they're might as well be the, what are they, about the 11. Nobody believes in the Bears. I don't either, but I still think it's odd that they're getting zero respect. Caleb is playing better. He's not terrible.
Problem is, you would have to trust Caleb Williams as a second year player in a big spot at home in a big stakes game. Yeah. Be a little bit dicey.
I think that game. Yeah, until we know the Packers' health status, that game makes no sense to decide one way or the other. They have too many guys on that list.
I want to see if Malik Willis is out for this game. He could be out as the backup. Love is coming back post-concussion. We'll see if that right shoulder – 5 hours ago, Packers expect Zach Tom, Malik Willis to be available. Okay, so their backup is covered. And the thing is, Josh Jacobs has not been dynamic for at least 10 weeks now. He's just
supposedly he's not been right.
Yeah. All right. Next up on the NFL rundown, your Sunday games, your Sunday triple header, starting with the 1 o'clock game, Bills at Jaguars, and the Bills are -1.5 on the road.
Everybody believes all the odds makers. I mean, Buffalo is I think they're the 2 overall. People believe they're ready to step up. What did I pick those 2 to be in the finals? Obviously, I can't do that because they play in round 1.
Right.
But Jacks, I wish they didn't match up because I do like both of those teams. I think they're going to – they might be the 2 – they might be the 2 best in the AFC, but they play in round 1.
Buffalo has finally figured out, yes, we got to run the ball with not just Josh Allen, but with Cook. And when they do that, they're very, very tough to beat. Then we've got the Niners and Eagles. This is a rematch of the NFC Championship game from 3 years ago in which Brock Purdy got blown up and blown out on his first possession on just the flukiest hand on elbow. There goes your UCL Tommy John situation. Niners were down to a spare. I forget who played in that game as a spare running back. The Niners are 4.5-point underdogs in this game. They were playing Mr. X for the 1 seed. Yeah. And now they're the 5 seed, and they're on the road taking on the Eagles. Actually, they're the 5 seed, right?
6.
6 seed, taking on the Eagles.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the losing Purdy in that game was one thing, but they immediately lost their backup also. I think it was Johnson, wasn't it? So they didn't have a QB.
Right.
And that's why that game was such a it was a disaster. As I recall, Shanahan looked like he just gave up. It was like, let's just run, let's go home, we quit.
Well, they couldn't operate.
No, they couldn't play.
Yes, Josh Johnson was there as their backup. Yeah. They basically had no third option in the game. And why didn't they have a better second option at that point? Oh, well.
Yeah. That's the Niners are really – I mean, there's no big – this sounds petty, but Trent Williams matters. When Trent Williams and George Kittle are on the field, Christian McCaffrey can run the ball like nobody. But they're not on the field a lot lately. And he was not on the field in Seattle, and they could not move the ball. When he's on the field, they're a different team. I got to see where Kittle and Williams are. I know Kittle played, but I want to see where they are before we have any idea on that. 4.5 is a big number for Philly. I mean, if they're healthy, San Fran is a very live team that can win the NFC.
Shanny on Monday did not rule out the return.
But that's a big if.
Yeah, did not rule out the return of Trent Williams and wide receiver Ricky Pearsall, who is becoming a much more dynamic element of the offense. He could take the lid off of defense. He's quite quick for a white kid who was shot, by the way. He said Trent and Ricky, both with hamstring and knee ankle situations, will evaluate them throughout the week. When a reporter asked to clarify the difference between day-to-day and, quote, evaluate through the week, Shanahan responded that the former meant a better chance for a rapid return, whereas the latter leaves more room for bad news. So Shanahan erred on the side of more room for bad news.
Sound good, but who was the coach a couple weeks ago that said, I'm not going to give the competitive advantage to the other team that we laughed at?
Yeah. And then Sunday night at Foxborough, Chargers, Patriots, and New England -3.5. Chargers rested everybody the final week. The Patriots kind of did the same, but not nearly as much. They whooped up on the Jets. Drake May led the league in both completion percentage and yards per attempt. That's a pretty good duo.
That's not a dump down guy.
No, not at all.
No.
The thing, though, that everyone's harping on is their strength of schedule. The Patriots had one of the worst strength of schedules. Now, people push back on that, saying that doesn't matter because you're going against defenses. There's some teams who are bad, like Cleveland, that had a great defense. So you really have to be more fine-tuned to evaluating how did quarterback A do against a bad defense if you're talking about MVP.
Yes, that is true. I mean, I try to save the schedule games for college where it really does matter. You play who you play. You look at all the four seeds and, the Lions, you know, a strength of schedule. They're still good. Did they have a soft schedule? Yes. But you know what? That team went, you know, last year they were behind the Jets.
It's crazy, right?
They went from 4-13 to
14-3.
14-3. I don't want to hear about schedule. Drake May can play, and he looks awful good.
Who would you trust more to go deeper as a second-year starter with the number two seed, Drake May and the Patriots or Caleb Williams and the Bears?
Oh, gosh, Pats for sure.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Sure. Yeah. By the way, I think it's interesting, and we all know it's about television and markets, but you got a Saturday night, a Sunday night, and a Monday night game. And you throw like the Patriots in New England where it'll be like 15 degrees late Sunday night, and the only 1 o'clock game of the weekend, let's put it in Florida for Jacksonville. And I thought Houston had a permanent monopoly on the early Saturday game. They do every year in the worst slot. They're not this year.
They were 8-8 in the postseason since they were spawned as a expansion replacement team for the departed Oilers. 8-8 Saturday afternoon. They've escaped that, and they'll be on Monday night. The Texans' DVOA on defense is way up near the top of some of the best defensive unit DVOAs. What does DVOA stand for?
That means good defense.
The defense adjusted value over average. So DVOA, the nerds have been calculating it, and Houston's off the charts. The problem is their offense is also off the charts. It's off the bottom of the chart.
I will add this to Houston. If you want to look at the season, their defense is lights out. Last three games, they have not been good. They just gave up a boatload in an important game to Riley Leonard.
They did. Then you wonder about how hard were they trying for their seed. Yeah. It's tough to know.
That's three games in a row they have not been good defensively. So can they turn it on? Yes, they can. Am I feeling the same as I did 3 weeks ago? Yeah, I don't know.
Texans -3 against Rodgers, who will have DK Metcalf back from the two-game suspension he suffered when he went after a fan and grabbed his shirt and took a swipe at him. Had the Steelers lost that game to the Ravens, I think that would have been the biggest suspension my lifetime that affected the outcome of not just a season, but possibly a coach in Tomlin because he might have been fired, and prompting an all-time great quarterback to retire because the ride was over.
Well, how did the Steelers bring Rodgers in and go into this season with exactly one wide receiver?
Because they have shitty GM work and they didn't plan things. And
they're picking up Adam Thielen to start. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah. The guys they're throwing to are scrubs. Oh. They're cast-offs. Even Rodgers said that. I love it because they're cast-off. Gainwell as well. They said, well, aren't you a cast-off? He's like, no. No, doesn't apply to me. So those are your lines for the six games this weekend. 2-3-1 lineup of games for Super Wild Card Weekend. Quick closeout on this. Are you okay with the format? Do you like the seventh team? Would you do away with the seventh team if you could?
The math works. I'm good with it. This is a great weekend to have, you know.
It's a great weekend. Would you go? Is this weekend better than championship weekend with just two games, albeit super high stakes? Winners go to the Super Bowl?
That's a good question. I mean, obviously, this is a great long Saturday through Monday weekend.
It's a lot of product, but I wouldn't say it's always that great. I distinctly remember how a lot of these, the seven seed games turn out to be complete duds. Because some of these seven seeds don't belong. Packers, probably the exception to that. Panthers, we'll see how they play. I think they're a very weak cup of coffee. Somebody did post the point differential for all the teams in the playoffs. Seattle's number one, and they're number one by a wide margin. You got to scroll way down to see the Panthers, who I think are they're not very good. Let me put it that way.
No, they're not. You wanted to do tiers. You still want to do that?
Oh, yes, and that was going to be tiers of...
You gave me homework.
I did give you homework. I got to find the point differential. You ready? Here we go.
Yeah.
Okay, the Seahawks are plus 191 on the year. Yeah. The lowest is the Panthers, who are, squints, minus 69.
In that division.
I know. And that's with six games against the rest of their scuzzy-ass division. Yeah. No wonder they're 10.5-point dogs. It should be 15.5. Who knows?
I might have to rethink that.
You might have to rethink that right there. So I wanted to take the format of, let me give the guy credit who positioned it this way, asking, okay, this is Sam Block at the Block spot. He writes, can win the Super Bowl, would surprise me if they won the Super Bowl, would shock me if they won the Super Bowl, and then absolutely no chance. Here's his tiers of can win, would surprise, would shock, and no chance. Can win, it's three teams, the Bills, the Eagles, and the Rams. I think that's way too short. I would put the Seahawks up there as well. And I would put the Niners up there as well, even though they've got the most sadistic road to get there. If they somehow made it, they would be formidable by mid-February. I would not put the Patriots there. I would not put the Texans there. I would certainly not put the Broncos there, nor anyone else.
This year... In most years, there's a couple of legit contenders, and the rest are trying to win a game or two. I think that's a silly list in the sense that this is the most wide open year I can remember in a long time. There is nobody that is clearly ahead of the field. Heck, most bettors, the odds put it on Buffalo, and they're the darn sixth seed. They got a path, you know, on the road. Seattle is getting no respect as a legit 1-1. Their defense is legit. They are really good. I have six in the can win category.
Okay, let's go.
I say Buffalo, Jacksonville, and New England are even in the East, or in the AFC. I'll take all three of them.
Yes,
they can. Okay. They can win their side. There'll be a dog. No, they can win.
Can they win? Okay, next three on your six who can win.
I think there's three in the NFC that can win. Seattle, the Rams, and San Francisco. That division's lights out. They lose four or five games. Those are the three best teams over there.
Philly is too low wattage of an offensive team to bet them.
I think that's probably the way to say it. There's just something about that team that they can play. Hurts can run around and have a great game and beat any team. but they can lose to any team, and that's not what I want to see. San Fran is still all about injuries. If they're hurt, they drop out of that category, and it's just five. But in the surprise me category, that's where I really put San Fran and Denver, and that's it.
Okay. I would put the Patriots and the Chargers in the surprise category for myself.
Okay.
In the shock category, which is where we are at right now, right, I would put the Packers, the Bears, and the Jaguars, and the Broncos would shock me. I know it's crazy to say the one seed would shock me if they won the World Series. The eye test on Denver is shit.
They win every game. You know, there's two ways to look at them. You know, the metrics, everything. They won, 11 games by less than a touchdown. And then if you like them, you say, hey, aren't you supposed to win the close games? Isn't that the sign of a great team? Well, yeah, but I also like teams that roll. My shockers are Philly, Houston, and the Bears.
I forgot Philly.
They all have things that would really surprise me if they could get it done.
I got to put Philly up in the surprise me category.
I get that.
Okay.
And then let's
end. And my no category, chance is Panthers, Steelers. Did I say Packers? No, I got them in shock me. It's Panthers, Steelers, Texans.
Okay. In my no, I got four in the no category. Obviously the Panthers and Steelers, but I have the Chargers there.
Ooh.
The way they protect, or excuse me, the way they kind of slow down defenses like that crossing guard on the Progressive commercials.
Yes.
They can't protect Herbert at all. So to put together a win streak this late in the year, I don't see that. And I might throw the Packers in this mix too.
Okay. It's something that I would not necessarily object to. I don't think they're constructed to be absolute killers. And also, look, they're the seven seed. The seven seed has the most sadistic swim upstream to get there. The Packers would have to beat the Bears at Soldier Field, the Seahawks at Lumen, and then most likely San Fran or L.A. at their places. Good luck on that. Or Philly at their place. Good luck on that three-way. And I know it's been done before. They did it going on the road when they were a wild card in 2010. But times were different. The format was different. There wasn't seven teams. And they didn't have Aaron Rodgers. Or they do have Aaron. They did have Aaron Rodgers then, and he went on a super nuclear tear. Okay, to wrap up, we'll have this discussion next meeting. But Mr. X is finally collecting Medicaid. Huzzah, huzzah. He's going to drain the coffers of Medicaid, which are already almost empty, with his future medical care. And guys like me who are 7 years in arrears will probably come to find nothing but an empty coffee can. But that said, it means Mr. X is considering retiring from doing his website and his newsletter, callmemrx.com. Part of the reasoning is Mr. X says, look, I post my picks. They're up there. I leave them up there. I don't try to hide from them. I don't play games. I don't flash them up, take them down, and then say, yeah, well, I'm this and this, and you had to listen to every appearance I made on Zabe's podcast or seen the release come out from me and tabulate it yourself. You leave stuff up. And when you are an honest handicapper, chances are you're going to look like maybe one of the worst handicappers out there, because the vast majority of public handicappers who have subscribers to their service are not honest. They may not be complete frauds or crooks, but they like to play games, right?
That's a very good recap.
And also, Mr. X admitted that he doesn't like the pressure, that while he says, look, I'm just telling people who subscribe, this is what I'm playing, and I play everything that I give out. You don't like it when you get into a bad stretch because you know your limits and you've had many years of dealing with bad stretches that sure. you're still here and you've got money for a boat and a dog and everything else. So you don't like it absorbing that heat, not heat, but you don't like absorbing it when, you know, you're running into a rough patch or a bad week.
Yeah. And like you, I need a day off now and then, but
we'll you know see. What my counter was to Mr. X, my fair listeners? Uh-oh. My counter to Mr. X was very simple. What the fuck are you going to do with that extra time anyway? This is all you do. This is your hobby. I've seen your golf game. It sucks. And I know you have no commitment to get better. You just want to go out on a nice main afternoon up there, have fun, have some beers, 2-3 beers, 3-5 beers, play 9 holes with your ragamuffin sons, and call it a great day and go out on the boat for sunset with Kobe, your German Shepherd, winning.
That is true.
You can still do all that and still give out your picks. I think you need an administrative assistant is what you need. You need some help in that regard. Somebody to help.
I have one, and she never shows up. It's Mrs. X. She never shows up for work.
I get your releases, and I see you're always doing updates. Like, oh, shit, I forgot this. Hold on a second. You know, whatever. And if you just clean that up, it's not like you're going to stop gambling. So why would you stop offering the people the chance to lean over and read from your test paper for better or for worse?
Yeah, there's a lot to think about. I guess the biggest summary is, if I could do it most of the time and not 100% of the time, I would do it. The 100% commitment. There's many a Friday where something's in the way, bro, and I'm up from midnight till 4 a.m.
doing poor this stuff. Oh, baby.
Yeah.
Again, what appointments do you have to wake up to in the morning to go attend? Stay up till 4, sleep till 10, 11, who cares?
I do.
And besides, other than the baseball totals, you're done for the year. You're done from April 1st until September 1st.
Well, that's a lot to think about.
All right, look.
You raised some good points.
Give me the chance to buy the business, modest as it may be. I'll make the picks quietly, but then I'll flip them. And I'm a good 43% consistent guy picking, trying. So when I flip them, that's 57%. That's worth some money right there.
It sure is. Finding a loser is as important as finding a winner.
All right. Mr. X, as always, a pleasure for the remaining, couple months? Because your yearly subscribers, you promised them until the baseball totals for next year come out?
Yes. Yeah, some people do a whole calendar year. Yes. I will definitely be doing baseball for sure. But
I think you got to do one more. You got to do one more year because this will be the last year of baseball for a while. And so you should retire with the lockout next spring. How about that?
Interesting. Yeah.
Something to think
about. We'll see.
Okay, Mr. X, always a pleasure, my friend. We will talk next time. Thank you.
Thanks. Take care.
That'll do it for me. Thank you for subscribing and downloading the Zabecast. Please rate and review if you got a hot second. It helps tickle the algorithmic overlords. Have yourself a great Wednesday, and we will see you next time. We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.